أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. We're now at the 23rd day of the blessed month of Ramadan, and in our series of living the Quran through the living Quran, today we want to look at the topic about marriage within Islam. Now we know that Islam as a religion, as the way of life actually, that it seeks to regulate and define and shape every aspect of our lives. This goes for really every aspect, and marriage is one of those where Islam plays a direct role. God intervenes in the Quran and speaks about marriage in many beautiful ways. He talks about marriage as being a sign of His majesty, of His glory, in which He puts love and mercy between the husband and the wife. In other verses, God tells us that the husband and wife are as a clothing arrangement for one another. And obviously we have the traditions of the Prophet and his noble family, in which they further elaborate on the marriage in Islam and the responsibilities, the rights, and also the general concept of marriage. Before we go to the review of the verse for today, let us look at this verse and have a listen to it, and then come back and analyze the meaning behind this verse.
وَأَنكِحُوا الْأَيَامَى مِنْكُمْ وَالصَّالِحِينَ مِنْ عِبَادِكُمْ وَإِمَائِكُمْ إِنْ يَكُونُوا فُقَرَاءَ يُغْنِهِمُ اللَّهُ مِنْ فَضْلِهِ وَاللَّهُ وَاسِعٌ عَلِيمٌ.
Arrange marriages for those of you who are single and from your male and female slaves as are deserving and fit to lead a married life. If they are poor, Allah will grant them means out of His bounty. Bountiful is Allah, all-knowing. This verse makes it blatantly clear that as a community, we need to also be active in helping our young men especially and young women especially get married. Now obviously anybody who is single and is looking for marriage is obviously falls under the umbrella of this verse. But when we look at marriage, most of the times we look at it from the point of view of the young and young men and women of our community. The verse of the Quran that we've just looked at tells us, where God uses the command form of the verb, that it is, we can say, an obligation, that at least and the minimal is the job and the responsibility of the mother and father to ensure that once their sons and daughters are of marriageable age, they've reached the age of maturity, they have the senses, they have the ability to take care of married life, that the parents step forth and help and assist their children in getting married. And in fact, we also are told that if a child, if a young man, if a young woman is of marriageable age and their parents do not help and assist them and give them the means to get married, and that young man or woman falls into sin if they go towards the impermissible, then the parents are actually also held liable for the sins that their children may be involved in. And so it becomes extremely important as a community, especially when many of us live in environments and societies where sexuality is so open and promiscuity is obviously something which is the common within many of our Western societies, that we do our utmost, first and foremost as parents, and secondly as communities of institutions, of organizations, whether they be local, national, international, to do our utmost to ensure that our young men and women who are looking for marriage, who are needing assistance, maybe financial support, whatever the need, whatever the case may be, that we do the best that we can do to provide for all of these needs that our young men and young women have. Obviously, the topic of marriage is vast, as we mentioned that there are multiple verses in which God speaks about this relationship. And through the example of the Prophet Muhammad, may God's peace and blessings be upon him and his family, and his infallible successors, we have multiple traditions that speak of the importance of marriage. Obviously, we don't have the time to go through each and every one of those traditions today. But just to sum up and give us some of them, we see that in the traditions we're told that the prayer, the two rakat prayer, of a bachelor, a single, somebody who is not married, that their two rakat, two units of prayer are the equivalent of 70, meaning that the worth, if they were to be married and they were to pray that same 2 rakat, it would have the reward of a 70 prayers. And so the rewards for acts of worship are increased through marriage. There are multiple other traditions that tell us about the importance of marriage. Some traditions tell us and point to us to the reality that the majority of the people of hell, when you question them why, or you know, what was their state in the world, they would say that they were single. And there's an understanding there that their not being married would have led them towards sins that would have led them towards the fire of hell. And there are many such other traditions that speak about the way that Islam does not like for a man or woman to remain celibate, to remain single. And this is why God has implemented marriage, is to allow a person to share their life with somebody else, to build a family, to continue the future generations. And as even the Prophet of Islam would tell us in a tradition, he would say that marry and procreate, have children. And he says that on the Day of Judgment, I will be proud of my nation, even if they had children which were miscarried, which passed away before their birth. And so Islam and the Prophet and his successors have given us a lot of words of wisdom for us to reflect upon, to think about, and to implement within our day-to-day life to make it easier for our next generation to find their spouse and to remain in wedlock and to remain happily in marriage. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.